Coming at you from the AO Studios, it's the Fade Route with D and Z. Here are your hosts, D and Z.
Powered by Riverside FM.
Coming at you live from the AO Studio. It's the Fade Route with D and Z. I am D, and we've got a great show for you tonight. The Super Bowl is over, so where do the Chiefs go from here? The NBA All-Star Weekend was a disaster, and Justin Tucker is in big trouble. But we'll begin today with hockey. Hockey show. We will start with the Four Nations Round Robin Tournament in the NHL. The final on Thursday will feature the USA versus Canada in Boston. The last time these two teams played each other in Montreal, the Canadian fans booed the playing of the national anthem. Three fights ensued shortly after the puck dropped, and the U.S. won 3-1. So the if Canada manages to win the final, will Team Canada get out of Boston alive?
Like, three fights ensued shortly. 9 seconds. That's got to be some kind of...
No, The first two were 9 seconds, but the second one, the third one, the last one happened after like a little bit of play.
There was a shot on goal.
It was a little bit more play.
JT Miller was on the ground 5 seconds later, but
it still was 9 seconds.
Rangers need it right now. They just traded for JT Miller.
Wow.
And next thing you know, he decides to jump on Colton Parayko and then take care of business. McAvoy's hurt. Both Tkachuks are hurt.
Well, yeah. McAvoy is hurt, right?
Jesus Christ! So is this,
his shoulder is bad? He's got a bad infection.
If the Boston
he might miss
Bruins
the rest of the season,
out,
he said.
This could be the equivalent of like Diaz getting hurt in the World Baseball Classic.
What?
Yes, it's it's ultimately a meaningless tournament, right? It doesn't have any impact on the season. This is just a break from the action. Pride. National, like, same thing with the World Baseball Classic, right? The name on the front means a hell of a lot more than the name on the back.
Pride.
This is a relatively new concept.
Pride.
Well,
I don't know.
We're going to compare it to the NBA All-Star game.
I don't know. I feel like the hockey players have a lot more pride in this.
Homecoming has more pride than the NBA players. But what we saw was grit and skill and speed and solid, stout defense all mixed into one. And that was a hell of a game. I was joking around. I was saying that's the best hockey game I've seen all year. And to a degree, it's not entirely off base because of the whole MSG thing. So I haven't been seeing a lot of the Rangers. So, this has been a very entertaining game. Now, Sweden got 5 points out of everything. Canada had 5 points out of everything. But based on differential, Canada moves on. And then Finland, we hardly knew you. Thanks for showing up. I guess we needed a fourth team, so why not go with Finland? Like, there wasn't a lot of bite on that team, considering the fact that it had Kaapo Kakko and Sasha Barkov and Mikko Rantanen. Finland just didn't post. So, it left for a very underwhelming performance on Monday. Once Canada won, what are we playing the night game for here, guys? Like, it's a fait accompli that it's going to be the U.S. versus Canada in a rematch in Boston, of all places. Boston, known for their even temperament. Boston, known for their bastion of sportsmanship. That's what we're dealing with here. And we can say the same thing. Montreal does not speak for all of Canada. At least I don't think so. Most of the provinces, from what I understand, can't stand Montreal. And they can't stand Quebec. So it's going to be very interesting to see what goes down in terms of audience and crowd noise on Thursday. I firmly expect the Canadians to be booed. And just like the American... No. Oh, boo!
Oh, you're not going to even be able to hear their anthem. You're not going to. There's no way you're going to be able to hear the Canadian.
Dude, it's going
to
be like,
oh, you're not going to hear super hot anything.
He just raises the microphone to his mouth.
No way.
Fuck you. We hate you. Not a goddamn thing. And, but I firmly.
No, you're not going to hear anything. You're not going to hear anything. Of all places, like, were you not thinking this through? This fucking finals being played in Boston, and you have the balls to boo the national anthem in Montreal. Like, what were you thinking? Like, listen, I don't like politics in sports, but you gotta really think about things, because that, I mean, you are.
But that's the thing.
You
though.
Just. You know,
no Kachuk brothers.
You put your team in a fight that they can't even handle right now, right?
The playing field, as far as physicality goes, that swings to Canada. I really think that those guys are the impetus of the physical play. Yeah, Kreider can throw checks, Trocheck can throw checks. We've seen, you know, they can do it. They can. I've seen them do it. We've seen them do it. But nobody brings that intensity, that mania, that lunacy that the Kachuk brothers bring. Like, their own father said they're a bunch of fucking lunatics. But here's the thing,
it's
though.
It's just like, you just gotta... You're writing checks that your ass can't handle, like, man. Like, your team has to go to Boston and play the United States in Boston. I think the only other worst place would be probably Philly, right? And the other place would be Madison Square Garden. If they went to Philly, Canada's bus would just get just turned over. They would turn the whole bus over. The bus would not be able to get into the stadium or out of
the stadium.
Parade.
It would
no
make the
way.
Super Bowl celebration.
You'd have to have
like
the fucking National Guard there.
But here's the thing.
They were playing this game in Philadelphia.
Canada is... Oh, my God. Dude, they can... Their starting line.
Oh, my
their top
God.
Line.
And
Crosby, McKinnon,
and
McJesus.
I mean, their team
is
stacked.
That's all you need to know. Like, that team is loaded. Loaded. So, the question mark is their defense. You know, they're banged up back there. Cale Makar just came back. He was hurt, but now he's back. Alex Pietrangelo is hurt. I think he's out for the tournament. I don't think Pietrangelo is going to play in the finale. It's the defense that's suspect. And Jordan Binnington. Like, Jordan Binnington, he is decent on most days. Decent's not going to win them a thing. He's got to be legit. He's got to be the guy that won the cup for the Blues in 2019. He's got to be at that level, because I guarantee you this. After what happened in Montreal, on home ice now in the United States of fucking America... It could be any barn. It could be any barn in America. Like, it's going to be loud. It's going to be super aggressive. And if Jordan Binnington is not right, they better have the backup ready to go, because it's going to be a freaking slaughter if they're not right. That being said, I think Canada can weather the storm. I think they could do it, because they have that caliber of player, and because they're captained by Sidney F. Crosby. A guy that's won multiple gold medals. He's won Stanley Cups. He's a winner. As much as I don't like him, he's a winner. Yeah, and he...
Yeah. No, he is. He is. That's why, I mean... I mean, just to kind of disagree with you, I mean... I think they're the favorite. I would think, outside of them having to... play this game in Boston, they're the better team, and they've seen the U.S. already once, and there's going to be adrenaline's a riding high. They have the best player in hockey. I wouldn't be surprised because if you go back and watch the Canada-USA game, after McDavid scored, they shut him down, and they were throwing double teams at him. They took him off his feet. They took him off his feet and knocked him to the ground. He's going to be out for blood in this game. I think we get his best game in this game. I'm worried about the U.S.'s ability to score, because I think they're going to put up points or goals. They're going to put up goals. I understand that the U.S. has the best goalie in the league, but you're talking about some of the best players in the league taking shots at him for the championship here. And there's too much pride. There's a lot going on. I mean, listen, I'm all USA, of course. I mean, I love my country, and I want them to win. It's just going to be a tough game. It's going to be an uphill battle. I don't think it's just a cakewalk here.
It definitely swings in favor of Canada. And we're not just, you know, it's not just the top line, too. Sam Reinhart is there, who scored 50 goals last year, and he's already got 30 again. Like, this dude's a beast. You have Brandon Hagel. You have Braden Point. You have Anthony. You have a whole line from the Tampa Bay fucking Lightning. So, like, that's all you need to know, man. Come on. Like, and for their, you know, they have Mark Stone. They have Travis Konechny. This team is loaded. Loaded, loaded, loaded. The only question is in goal. And I wonder, for Canada, now, if John Cooper, I wonder if John Cooper says, Aiden Hill, you're in tonight. You got a thing we like to call a Stanley Cup, and you seem to be a little bit calmer than Jordan Binnington. Mm. You seem to be a little bit more with it than Jordan Binnington. Now, it seems like a panic move on the surface, but when you take into account who Jordan Binnington is as a player, it's not that much of a stretch. It really isn't. And yeah, both Tkachuk brothers are out, but you're replacing them with Chris Kreider. It's not like you're replacing them with a schlub, you know. Chris Kreider, what, two seasons ago scored 50 goals? So this is going to be one for the ages, man. I strap in, get your popcorn, do not leave your seat, because this is going to be absolutely amazing. So you have, who are you taking? You taking Canada or you taking the United States?
Yeah, I think it'll be narrow. I think it'll be like 4-3, 3-2, somewhere around there. That's why I don't know if they're going to get out of Boston alive. Like, it's just because they're going to lose.
Oh, my God.
The USA, the Boston fans, the drunk Boston fans are going to lose their minds. They're going to be throwing stuff on the ice. They're going to be, like, I'm telling you, it is going to be hard for them to get out of town if they win. They're better off losing the game. You know, play all the way tough to the end and then just give it up to them. Because you're not going to, after booing our national anthem, you can't come into Boston.
I don't know. And, with Charlie and beat McAvoy the not USA. Being there.
It's just, like, it's not going to go. Adam it's not going to go well.
Can Jake Sanderson, can Zach Werenski shut down that top line? Can they step in seamlessly and do what Charlie McAvoy was able to do? And, you know, from what I've seen all year, Adam Fox looks a step slow. Like, is he still nursing the knee injury? It's possible. But, you know, there's enough firepower on this team that they can turn this into a shootout. They can turn this into, you know, a back-and-forth seesaw affair, you know? For all of the grit, the U.S. can really match Canada firepower for firepower. You know, I seed your Crosby, McKinnon, your McDavid. I'll give you Jack Eichel, solid. I'll give you Jack Hughes, solid. Dylan Larkin scored the goal the other day. Austin Matthews is on this team. As much as I can't, as much as I don't want to root for a Toronto Maple Leaf, I got to root for a Toronto Maple Leaf here. So it's one of those things that this team is loaded for bear. And I think we're in for a treat. Now, I don't think they would pull the trigger, but it would be very interesting if Jeremy Swayman got the start in Boston as the starting goalie for the Boston Bruins in this game. I don't know if that would be too much, because Hellebuck has been playing great, and, you know, even Ottinger has been playing great. But I wonder if any other time would he have gotten the nod. Like, hey, man, like, you're the Boston Bruins keeper. This is your home ice. Yeah, but I'm expecting, like, 5-4, 6-5, someplace in there. Like, wait.
Oh, yeah.
It's going to be a shootout.
Yeah, maybe.
Oh, yeah.
We'll see. Yeah, definitely. Scoring. Definitely some scoring. But it'll definitely be entertaining. What wasn't entertaining was the NBA festivities over the weekend, where they held their All-Star game and the actual game on Sunday. The players did not like the new format, which featured teams created by Shaq, Candace Parker, Kenny Smith, and Charles Barkley. Teams played games to 40, and the games broken up by about an hour and a half worth of comedy from Kevin Hart and antics. So, Z, will the success of four nations in the NHL finally lead the NBA to fix their All-Star game?
Like, in vogue. That's a big deal.
You saw a highlight? Wow. Good.
But here's the problem, though.
Good for you. Good for you seeing the positive in some trash.
Your highlight is that in vogue performed. That's a problem. Or Kevin Hart did some stand-up. That's a major problem. So, you know, rightfully so, this format was panned. The timing was all off. Make it USA versus the world. The players want it. Maybe that I show some pride there.
Well, hold on. You're saying the players want it now.
Want it, shit can the whole thing.
But for a long time,
like,
they didn't want.
Can the whole
and
thing,
I don't know if all the players wanted
useless.
It. Like, I don't know.
Especially compared to the four nations, right? In terms of All-Star games, right? You have the Pro Bowl, which look what the Pro Bowl has become. You have this glorified skills competition and weird-ass tournament that the NBA put on. The Major League Baseball All-Star Game, which used to be a great midsummer classic, holds no interest to me anymore. Like, yeah, the gimmick of, home field advantage in the World Series, that gave you something. Like, was it the best solution to the tie? No. But was it something? Sure. Like, there was a little bit of something there. But the NHL just blew everybody out of the water. Just like, oh yeah, watch this. You have players who are willing to sacrifice everything for their country, right? Regular season be damned. Team be damned. Like, I'm going out there, I'm going to bust my ass. Because that's what we do. And now the NBA runs that out there. And you have Draymond Green on the broadcast talking about how bad it is. Shut up, Draymond. Draymond, shut up. Don't say the thing out loud. Draymond, stop this.
And how boring NBA games and how boring NBA games are.
You have Dalton Connect saying, well, that's just Draymond being Draymond. Well, no shit, Sherlock. This is the guy that they wanted out there. He was the voice at that moment. So if players don't want to do it and fans don't really care, what are we doing here? What the hell are we doing here? You know? And yes, I understand your point. They say they want it now. Team, you know, players have said they didn't want it in the past. You gotta do something, but you have to do something. Otherwise, just name an All-Star team, give these guys 2 weeks off, and then just go. Or, is this the place for the Emirates Cup? Is this the time of year when you do the Emirates Cup? Rather than having immediate... I'm throwing out ideas here, man. I don't know. Because the Emirates Cup is trash. The All-Star game is double trash. So, what are we doing? If you're Adam Silver, what do you do? Because I have egg on my face.
Well, the first thing I do is I don't let one of the biggest or...
That
you know, one
true.
Of the best players in my league, 10 minutes before the All-Star game, tell me he's not playing in the All-Star game.
That's bad.
That's the one thing I don't let happen. You want to talk about looking like you got egg on your face? How about that? How about showing up that day and LeBron's not playing? What do you mean he's not fucking playing? Like, what are you talking about? Like, I just don't. It's just a lack of respect, man. Like, you could have just threw a uniform on and played 10 minutes and said you hurt yourself in the game. Or you were feeling a little bit discomfort. But to not even dress and then to sit on the sidelines and laugh and joke around with teammates
while people paid thousands of dollars to go watch this all-star garbage? Wow. That's a wow. That's just... And that's where they are. This is what happens. He's getting exactly what he deserves. Because this is just... What a slap. What do they do with the... I think if you move to the U.S. versus the world, I think you'll get situations where guys won't play, right? Like, I think they'll say, I'm hurt, I'm injured, kind of like the Pro Bowl thing. Like, you get voted into the Pro Bowl, but then you don't go because you don't want to get hurt or you don't even want to play in the game. Because you got to understand, if they do the world, you're just representing the world. You're not representing your country. You're representing the world. So I'm on another all-star team. So it's just a bunch of other guys on this team also giving the same half-ass attitude and aggression, right? I think, like I said, we've talked about it on the show before. I like the idea of a one-on-one tournament. It just seems more fun. Like, every team gets to nominate a player. It could be any player. It could be any player, past or present. And they and you don't find out until the day of the All-Star Tournament. And games are 5 or 6. You're only allowed 3 dribbles. And then you get to the last 2 guys. And that game could be to 11. Or that game could be to 21. That, to me, is more appealing and appetizing. Because at least in that situation, it's one guy who's been nominated by his team. He's representing his team. It's a one-on-one tournament. You're only playing games to 5 or 6. So you're not going to get hurt. And you choose your destiny. You can, you know, you want to just shoot, you just shoot. You want to go hard, you go hard. But at the end of the day, we're going to find out who's the best all-star this weekend. That, to me, sounds more fun and appealing. Maybe a 3-on-3 tournament would be fun too. You could maybe, you know, take, I don't know, maybe 4 teams and, you know, you take all-stars and put them together. Maybe let the fans put teams together and they play in a 3-on-3. That could be fun. You know, but this whole, like, people aren't running up and down the court. They're throwing oops to themselves. They're throwing themselves on the floor when other people dunk. They're just dribbling around and shooting shots from half court. I watched 30 seconds of it. I didn't need to see anything else. I'm not even really into the skills competition. I don't really care. I don't really care. I don't watch the dunk. You got a guy from the G League coming and competing in the fucking NBA All-Star dunk contest. Are you kidding me? We can't get enough pros? This guy, the G League guy, is the best dunker? Is this real life? What? And you're okay with this, Adam Silver? You're okay with the G Leaguer playing the dunk contest? Can we get the G Leaguers to play in the actual game? That might be better.
Well, that's his thing.
It's a joke.
You know, Mac McClung has now said, like, yeah, I bailed you out 3 years in a row. Now I need a little bit of incentive. So what does that mean? Like, you're not going to play unless you're on an NBA contract instead of a G League contract? Like, is that...
Good for him, though.
Yeah, no, but...
Good for him standing up for himself.
Absolutely. But at the same time...
I'm not a fucking circus. I'm not a side act. I'm not a circus clown. Like, oh, you call me up when you need me? Can I get on an NBA team if I dunk so
great?
It'd
be nice.
How about I do these dunks in a real game?
It'd be nice. But then you're looking at guys like John Morant, and, like, it started blowing up on X. Like, hey, maybe we'll lace him up in the dunk... No, you won't. Don't fucking lie. Don't lie to the American people.
I don't even think LeBron's ever played in a dunk contest.
They're still waiting. He said he was going to do it back in 2009, I think. He's on record saying he would do it, and they're still waiting. Still waiting for that to occur. So that's how little LeBron thinks of the All-Star game. But it's a joke. It's an absolute joke to him. And it's unfortunate because people come to watch him, right? People come to watch all-stars. And this is the nature of the beast. This is who you came to see. And then to pull that shit, I know you talked about the Cleveland story, right? You reiterate that stuff. But imagine paying for the all-star game where you see the best of the best of the best. And then next thing you know...
Never.
And then next thing you know, it's like, you're a fucking sucker because I'm not playing. Like, that's what he think.
How am I
playing?
They
think you're suckers. They think the paying fan, they think the average person that comes to the... is a sucker. That's... they think you're a mark. That's what they think, man. You're just going to keep coming. And that's bullshit. That's wrong. That's absolutely wrong. And it's just another symptom of the problem. It's just another symptom. And then you said you didn't watch the skills competition, but did you see that the Spurs players got disqualified?
Yeah, real classy. Yeah,
just kind of like, ah, fuck it, whatever. Like, not taking the shots that they're supposed to take. Just like, ah, fuck you. We're just going through the motions here. But if you're just going through the motions, why are you there? Like, I'm confused by it all. And then you see the U.S. and Canada try and fucking kill each other. Not in a championship.
Fights breaking out. In a, not even a semifinal. Just the fucking first time they're playing each other. Fights are breaking out as soon as the damn thing starts.
It was the first round of the tournament. And
chopping the puck and throwing gloves down. Let's go.
You want to go?
Or fight.
You want to go?
You want to boo my flag? You want to go? We're going. Yo, as soon as the puck
set the fucking tone, boys.
It's like, what?
Set the tone, boys.
Set the tone. And that's passion.
Absolutely.
That is...
But
then that's what they don't have. They don't have any respect for their... They don't have no respect for the game. They don't respect the game.
Now, if you were telling me... And it's like... you're telling me that Draymond...
PK Subban was...
Okay. Talk about PK Subban. Because, like, if you were going to tell me that...
No, I was saying that PK Subban was going off and saying, guys, it's like, you're getting paid. So what drives you? What do you need? Like, what more do you need to play hard in this game? You've got the money.
He's right.
You already got the money. So what is it? What do you need? Like, you know, he's like, because he was telling from a hockey's perspective, he's like, you can't half-ass this. You got your country's logo on your sweater. If you don't play hard, the guy across from you is playing hard. You're going to get hurt. You're going to get put down. You're gonna look like a fool. What if one side played harder in a game?
Oh my God.
What if just one side? Like, think about it. If in the All-Star game, one side decided to seriously play and embarrass the other side, what would happen then? How would that end? Would that be the turning point?
The fights would be at the end.
Would that be the day that someone's like, I'm...
The fights would be at the end. Because it's the usual bullshit. Oh, they showed me up. But... well, if you actually played hard, they wouldn't show you up. Like, that's my argument. And like I was saying before, it's just like, could you imagine if it was at the tip and it was a pre-discussed scrap between Draymond and Chris Paul? Like, you know, something like that. Okay, now you have my attention. It's like, you want to go? You want to go? Mm. Okay, let's go. Like, that's part of it.
These guys aren't hungry. No. They've completely devalued the regular season.
Completely.
They better be careful. Hockey might pass them. I'd watch a hockey game over an NBA game. I'll say that right now.
I can tell you this much.
Everybody's going to be tuning into that Thursday game.
Absolutely.
Everybody's going to be tuned. There's nobody that's not a hockey fan that is not going to watch Thursday's
final. Oh, no. I am strapped in, man. I am ready to go. But the NBA needs to be careful because it's not so much about them getting passed by hockey. They got to be concerned about a freaking lockout. Like, the way things are going, you can't tell me that there's peace here. Like, at some point, the owners have to be pissed about what the hell's happening. Right?
Right. I felt the same way. I was like, at what point do the owners say, hey, Adam, what the fuck is going on in this league?
Right.
Like, he answers to them. And at some point, they have to be looking at the hockey product. They got to be looking at the All-Star game. They got to be looking at, you know, are we falling behind here? Like, I wonder what those conversations are like. Does he? I don't know. I would think he has to answer to them.
No,
what are they happy about? Are they happy about betting? I don't know.
But does he really answer to the owners? Because it sounds like he kowtows to the players. Like he's, you know, LeBron doesn't want to play 2 hours before the All-Star. Sure, you got it. Absolutely, Mr. James. Do you want your water room temperature or do you want ice in it? Do you want still or sparkling? Like that, he's a friggin', you know, we like to trash, like, Gary Bettman. No, Adam Silver's the fucking dirt worst, man. And Don Garber is right there behind him with MLS. But it wouldn't surprise me if MLS passes them. MLS does something interesting. They take their All-Star team, and they play the Liga MX. So, like, they play an interesting format. In years past, they've actually brought over a European team. And MLS team promptly gets their ass kicked. But they try something different. And it wouldn't surprise me, man, especially with Messi. Like, Messi's here, Suarez is here, Olivier Giroud is here. Like, you have big-name players who have come to this league. It wouldn't surprise me if they pass the NBA. Because, say what you will, they play hard. Like, that, and they have a global market, much like the NBA does. But, yeah, you can't compare. For all you grill masters, green thumbers, DIY aficionados, and home repair heroes in the Richmond, Virginia area, if you're looking for personal service quality products and a convenient shopping experience, then look no farther than Thacker Ace Hardware in Colonial Heights. Owner Don Rackley and his team of local experts have everything you need to tackle every project around the house. I'm talking Benjamin Moore paint, Milwaukee and Craftsman power tools, plumbing, electric, hardware, the works. For you green thumbers, their nursery department is top-notch, and I wouldn't be me if I didn't mention the grills. They have Weber, Blackstone, Big Green Egg, Traeger. I want one of everything. Give them a call today at 804-766-4223 and see how they can assist you. Or swing by 27 Dunlop Village in Colonial Heights. That's Thacker Ace Hardware, 804-766-4223, or swing by 27 Dunlop Village in Colonial Heights. Thacker Ace is the place with the helpful hardware folks.
Well, one sport that is past the NBA, circled around them three times, is the NFL. Yeah. Now, the Super Bowl was over a week ago, but the Chiefs are trying to figure out their next move. You know, some people feel they are in cap hell, and others feel like they're a few players away from returning to the Super Bowl. So, Z, what camp are you in?
Well, we have to couple this news with the fact that the league is increasing the salary cap by $22 million this year. So, whereas they had $3.2 million in cap space, now with that extra infusion of cash, you're looking at around $25 million. So they're not as worse for wear as they appear to be. So now they got about 25 mil to play with, thanks to the new infusion of salary cap. But it's still not great. You think about the players that they would consider moving on from and who were free agents. They're going to have to do a hell of a job in the draft. Like, they're going to have to hit on everybody to replace the guys. And you still don't know if Travis Kelce is going to retire or not. So they got to be smart with who they want to prioritize. They need to be smart about who they're going to keep. They got to fix the offensive line. That's first and foremost. If they can generate an extra pass rush to complement Chris Jones, that would be great. Wideouts, I don't think they're going to necessarily be able to upgrade. They have a pretty decent group now, and some of them are, you know, for the most part, it's inexpensive. But running back is going to be an issue. Right? Who is going to get that? And you and I have been discussing this back and forth. Like, Pacheco is eh. Like, Kareem Hunt's a free agent. Would you re-up Kareem Hunt? Edwards-Helaire didn't do the job. But I think, especially now that they have that extra cash, they can go after a guy like Ronnie Stanley. And I think that would benefit them. You know? Stud left tackle, protects the blind side of Patrick Mahomes, also hurts the Ravens, so kind of diminishes one of your rivals. So I think that could be an interesting move depending on what Ronnie Stanley's looking for. It's going to be hard, but it's not unlikely that they're going to be able to compete next year. They just have to prioritize the right things. They're not going to be so far removed.
You make it sound like it's so easy. You make it sound like it's so easy to prioritize the right things. When you look at it, other teams are coming, all right? Other teams are hot on their heels. You know, we've kind of talked about this before. You know, I understand that you're saying, they need to go focus on the line and get a running back. I mean, they did focus on the line. They've drafted a left tackle the last 2 years. It hasn't worked out. As far as running backs concerned, they drafted Clyde Edwards-Helaire. He didn't work out.
Because he got hurt.
Pacheco got hurt.
They both got hurt.
They went and got Kareem Hunt. I mean, shit happens, man. Like, Hollywood Brown, did he look good? I mean, that motherfucker's a prime cut bait, man. He might get cut. I mean, he doesn't have it. DeAndre Hopkins is gone. You know, we were talking about, like you said, we were talking about this during the week. There's just certain guys that you can't bring back, right? We look at their defensive line, Pinnell, Nandi, Emenyehui. Those guys are gone. They're gone. And then Chris Jones. Now, do you trade Chris Jones? Is that something that's on the table for draft picks and players? Is Chris Jones' best years behind him? He can't do it all by himself. He needs help. Nick Bolton. You bring Bolton back? I mean, I think Chanel could play Bolton's spot, but that's tough. Trey Smith is gone. Justin Reed is gone. Then the whole Kelsey conundrum. Do you want Kelsey back? I'm in the area of no. He don't come back. We'll have him. We'll we'll pull a Billy Beane.
Build him in the aggregate.
we'll replace him in the aggregate. You got Gray. You got Watson. We'll get another guy. Like, we're not bringing this garbage back. He didn't do anything. He wasn't the guy he was, and he's just going to get worse. And then you talk about drafting guys. There's no room at wide receiver. So Worthy, Rice, Hollywood, Juju, Watson, Remco, Sky Moore, Justin Ross, those guys are all coming back. You can't cut them. If you cut them, you're going to get dead cap space. So you can't replace your receivers. Your receivers are your receivers.
No, I didn't say anything about replacing
your
receivers.
You might be able to put...
I didn't say anything about replacing.
But these guys can't get separation. These guys can't win games for you. We saw what happened with Patrick Mahomes. He was dropping back. Number one's not open. Number two's not open. Now I'm going to run around like a chicken and I'm going to get popped. I think Patrick Mahomes is a magical player. He's a talent. But if a team is able to just rush four and get at you, what's going to happen? You're going to have to run more. We saw the worst of Patrick Mahomes. This might have been his worst year as a pro this last year. This is probably one of the second worst Super Bowl he played in. I just think there's a lot of problems here that's not solvable as, oh, well, you just have to do this. Oh, well, you just have to do that. I don't know,
it's
man.
Actually not that bad of a fix because what is Rashee Rice, you have Sky Moore, and you have Xavier Worthy. Their game is built on speed. So, yes, Worthy's more of a downfield threat, but you lose Moore and you lose Rice, you lose that unpredictability. You lost it. Nobody could match them in terms of athletic ability. Now, can they integrate them into the offense so where you have the jet sweep, where you have them in the backfield, you couple them with like a Raheem Mostert. I know he's not the sexiest name out there, but Raheem Mostert is a solid veteran presence who can run the ball. Like, if you get these guys and you integrate them back into the offense, I don't think they're going to be that bad. What are you
offering Raheem Mostert coming off of one of his best years in Miami? What are you offering Raheem? What are you offering Raheem to get him to come play for Kansas City?
So it's a 1 year deal because he's over 30.
Yeah.
And here's the thing, Raheem Mostert. You were on the San Francisco 49ers, were you not?
He could go back.
They ain't going back. They're not going anywhere. That's a team that's not going anywhere. This team, the Kansas City Chiefs, have been in three consecutive Super Bowls. and one too. We want you, sir.
And you don't think that well's running dry? You think they're just going to keep making Super Bowls?
I think that they're still.
If you're Raheem Mostert, and the Chiefs offer you a 1-year deal, you're going to run to your agent and sign that?
I have an opportunity.
Come on.
Let me finish my thought. I have an opportunity to actually get into the playoffs, unlike in Miami, like where I'm not doing dick. And if it falls below 40 degrees, my fucking coach forgets how to coach. So it's quite possible. Like, do I have an opportunity here to make the playoffs and be with a contender? Or am I going to chase money? I'm going to sign with a team that I'm going to get an opportunity to be in the playoffs. That's the thing. What's it about? You've been in the league for about 10 years. Like, what is it really about at this point? What don't you have? You don't have a ring. And I think that is the determining factor for some veterans. Like, some of these guys, they're going to want their shot at the big time. And I think that a guy like Raheem Mostert would understand that his door is closing. So get what you can get at this point. And if a team like the Saints come, if the team like the Chiefs come and they want you, shit, that's worth something. Now, I'm not going to go to the Giants if I'm Raheem Mostert. There's no future then. I'm not going to go back up Breece Hall with the Jets. Like, I'm not going to go, you know, I'm not going to go to the Cleveland Browns. You're our number one back. Oh, great. I'm the starting running back for the Cleveland Browns. Isn't that wonderful? No. You have no, you've already capped your ceiling there. I'm going to go 3-14, and we're going to be in the top of the draft again. Or they're going to trade me, or they're going to cut me. So, if I'm a guy like Raheem Mostert, or a guy that, you know, we haven't even thought about yet, because I'm sure there are plenty of players who are going to be on the chopping block. It's just a matter of time.
Well, yeah, I mean, well, we have the free agent list.
I mean, the post June 1st cuts, the guys we don't know about yet, like the guys that, you know, are still under contract, who we're still thinking about. Yeah, we're going to have the Najee Harrises, we're going to have the Aaron Joneses, but there's going to be that guy where it's just like, he got cut? Really? Okay. So you talk about building guys in the aggregate, right? That's where you get to build them. You get the cast-offs of these other teams who still have a little bit of playing left, who still have a little bit of pride, and they are going to lift the boat of your team. Like, that's the guy. Don't go star hunting all the time. Yeah, I mean, Ronnie Stanley, yes, you need a stud left tackle. You pay that motherfucker. You pay him.
And he's a stud.
You pay him. You absolutely pay him.
Ronnie
Stanley is an absolute stud. And he hurts the Ravens. So it's like a double win, right? Yeah, I got my guy. Ooh. And it hurts Lamar. So it's one of those things that they can do it. They just... You know, prioritizing is easy. They have their targets. They know.
You're also assuming that they don't. You're assuming the Ravens don't franchise him, and you're assuming the Ravens don't re-sign him.
Well, as of right now, he's a free agent. he's listed as a free agent.
So you're starting there.
I would start.
You're starting.
He's
there.
My number one left tackle. He's the
number one guy. So just you. So out of building the offensive line, out of getting a running back, and out of addressing the defensive line and the linebacker issue, your first thought is, I'm going to go get 30-year-old Ronnie Stanley.
I am protecting 30-year-old Patrick Mahomes.
Okay.
So.
All right. Hey, man. There's no wrong answers here.
There are no wrong answers. Well, there is a wrong answer based on this. You don't prioritize running back here. Because you can get production. Like, Saquon's not out there. And even so, like, Saquon behind the line that you currently have wasn't going to be Saquon. The reason why Saquon was Saquon, because he was running behind those five horses. So, Aaron Jones could be good. Aaron Jones would be fine. But I don't think you're going to... I think it's a risky proposition to do that. You build from the inside out. And it worked for the Eagles, right? You build from the inside out.
Avoid messy accidents. Get better stopping power with your brake pads. Callahan brake pads. You never know when you'll be driving in the road and there will be a truck tire that you need to avoid and save your family. Callahan Auto. We really care about what's under your hood.
There are going to be a lot of guys that are trying to prove who they can be and take charge of their team. So, having said that, what players have the most to prove next season?
You're going to like this one because I'm starting with Sam Darnold.
My guy.
Your guy. He's got to prove that it wasn't just 1 year under KOC. He's got to do it again. And not just do it again, he's got to do it better. So, and that being said, like, Sam Darnold had a hell of a year last year. But he's got to prove it wasn't a fluke. You know,
I was watching Jordan Palmer give some feedback about Sam Darnold, and he really tried to turn it. He's a guy that really worked with Sam and helped develop Sam, and he was trying to say that pretty much like those last two games were not all Sam's fault. He was saying that, you know, he was seeing his first read wasn't there, and as he was going to a second read, he was getting pressure or getting popped. Yeah. That might be true. He also did have some poor reads and had some poor plays. But I think I agree with you. I think he's one of those guys that, but it all depends on where he goes too, right, Z? Yeah. I mean, if he stays with Minnesota, he doesn't really have a lot to prove, but if they decide to let him go, then he's got a lot to prove. Would you agree?
I would agree with that. If Kevin O'Connell makes it an open competition, if they keep him with J.J. McCarthy and they make it an open competition in camp and J.J. beats him out, that speaks volumes. Now, that opens the door to a trade as well, because you'll have Sam Darnold on the contract and you could possibly move him. And I'm sure there will be plenty of teams who would be interested if Sam Darnold wants out. Another player that... It's going to be a lot of quarterbacks. I'm prefacing that. There are a lot of quarterbacks who have a lot to prove in this league. Daniel Jones. Is he actually an NFL quarterback? I say no, but he's going to get the opportunity to prove it. Trevor Lawrence. Was he worth the number one overall pick? Signs point to no, because he's barely better than Daniel Jones. Statistically.
Crazy. It's unbelievable. It's crazy. Those numbers are identical.
It's unbelievable. Aaron Rodgers. All signs point to him playing this year. Like, who is Aaron Rodgers now? Is he the guy who seemingly tanked the Jets organization? Or does he have a little bit of gas left in the tank? Can he play ball? So... I'm watching those and I'm seeing like what it could be. And you know, a guy like Saquon Barkley, like, yes, he was an MVP candidate this year, but is he going to be able to get close? Now, it's highly unlikely that he's going to be able to reach 2K again in back-to-back seasons. But can he get close? Can he seemingly replicate what he did this year for the Eagles? Can he stay as healthy as he did? That's what, you know, you're waiting for the other shoe to drop, right? This year was a perfect confluence of events for the Eagles. Can they, as a unit, put everything back together again? Like, they got some from A.J. Brown. Now, A.J. Brown is likely to be traded because he's a malcontent. Right, you got exceptional line play. You got Jalen Hurts. Jalen Hurts was fantastic. Can you expect all these guys to perform like they did again under a new offensive coordinator? This is what, Jalen Hurts' fifth offensive coordinator, fourth offensive coordinator? Something like that, which is absurd. And even a guy like Brock Purdy, like, he's got a lot to prove. Is he actually a good quarterback? But when you take away his weapons, he's just merely an average quarterback. Can Brock Purdy take the next step? Can he deliver when he doesn't have Ayuk, when he doesn't have Deebo, when he doesn't have Kittle? That's a lot of proving for me. But, like, that's what I'm looking at. I'm looking at a lot of, like, quote-unquote stars in this league. Right? We like to throw around the alleged superstar. These alleged superstars, I want to know if they are actually who we believe them to be, or if they're just mediocre players that we have paid very well and gassed up. I'm intrigued by those concepts.
Yeah, I mean, for me, I wrote down a list of four names. One of the guys that I think has a lot to prove is Justin Herbert.
Yeah.
I mean, he's on the verge of being like Daniel Jones and Justin and Daniel Jones and
Trevor Lawrence.
And yeah. Trevor Lawrence. He's close to being that. I mean, it's just like, dude, you got no playoff wins. Your touchdown interception ratio is awful in the playoffs. You can't beat Patrick Mahomes, who's in your own division. It's like, at what point are we just like, dude, you're not that good. You're not as good as we thought you were. And it's interesting because when he first came out, I was trying to get a signed ball by Justin Herbert, and it was just as much money as a Patrick Mahomes ball. I was like,
that's wild.
Patrick Mahomes has three Super Bowls. Why is Justin Herbert's ball over $600? And finally, it's starting to drop, but it's only dropped to $400. So it's like, why? Why is it still so high? What the fuck has this guy done? How do we evaluate talent here? I wonder what Jalen Hurts' ball is going for. If Justin Herbert's ball is fucking $480.
People are just getting around. Just getting around to the fact that Jalen Hurts is a good quarterback, though. Like, they anointed Justin Herbert coming out of Oregon.
Second guy I put down on my list is Trevor Lawrence. Now, he's been actually in discussions about a trade. Apparently, the Steelers inquired about Trevor Lawrence's availability, and he indicated that he wasn't interested in going to Pittsburgh. He wasn't interested in being traded. But it's interesting that Pittsburgh was interested in him, trying to get him on the cheap, I'm sure. But it's like, dude, like you just said before, he's got Danny Dime numbers. Your last season was awful. Awful. I thought this guy was going to be like the next Joe Montana coming out. He has talent around him and he doesn't do shit with it. And he gets hurt. So it'd be interesting to see what he's able to do. I'd say he has the second most to prove.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
The third guy, I put all quarterbacks. I put Anthony Richardson.
Yeah.
This is it. Yeah. This is it, man. This is it. This is year three. Your accuracy hasn't gotten better. You're still getting hurt. This is it. If it doesn't, and you got four games. You got four games. And that's if they don't cut your ass in camp. We got four games to figure this shit out.
My question
but
to
he
you.
Seems,
who
he,
are you bringing in to push him? Because Flacco wasn't it. Like, who's pushing him?
Shit, who am I? Who am I bringing in to push him? I don't know.
Jameis?
Yeah, maybe. I like Jameis. Jameis is a good player. He'll hurt. He's like a Brett Favre. He'll hurt you, but he'll get you some. I don't know. Let me see who else is there. No. No. Basura.
Daniel Jones. Basura. Like, do you go with Daniel Jones?
I have a feeling Daniel Jones is going to be back in. I need to be back with the.
You think he's going back to the Vikings? Interesting.
I think he does. I think he goes back. Andy Dalton's back in Carolina.
I saw that.
I like Jared Stidham.
Mm.
I think he could play. Marcus Mariota would probably do well in that system because he knows it.
And he's a mobile guy.
He ain't pushing nobody. He ain't pushing nobody.
No, because he'll get hurt.
Yeah, I guess it's got to be Jameis. Browns would be stupid not to bring back Jameis, though.
I mean, because then you have like the alternative, then, like Kirk Cousins. Like, no, they're not. The Colts are not getting Kirk Cousins.
They're not that desperate, right? The last one I put down here is Jaden Daniels. I just got to prove that it's not a fluke, man. It's just got to, you know, everyone goes in that sophomore slump. We saw that happen with Stroud this year. You know, we see it happen. So it'd be important for him to stay healthy, right, and be consistent. So we'll see if that – those are the guys I put down.
I mean, you really can't argue with any of them just from the standpoint of, like, it just underscores the fact that the quarterback, it makes or breaks your team, you know? It absolutely either sets you back in the wilderness or you're going to be generationally set up. And I mean, just look at what happened with the Jets and Aaron Rodgers. They're now looking for their quarterback again. They went from allegedly a quarterback away to trading Zach Wilson, and now they're in the wilderness again. They're linked to Justin Fields because Justin Fields and Garrett Wilson played at Ohio State together. Like, that's what's going on here? Really? Okay. If that's what we're going to do, then that's what we're going to do. But another person I'm interested in seeing who's not a quarterback is T. Higgins. Like, they franchised him, but is he going to get traded? Now, his mom went out on X. I believe the tweet was "selfish bastards." When they franchised T. Higgins again, so
it's interesting that you would say that because you make good money under the franchise tag.
Well, for wideouts, yeah, but
and they can still negotiate. They still can negotiate a long term deal. Like they can still get a deal done
completely. But it does kind of ruin. Well, it extends, I should say. It doesn't ruin his ability to earn because, you know, you can still negotiate a long-term deal or you can ask to be traded. And then the team that acquires you, you can negotiate a deal with. So it doesn't, you're not totally wrecked by being franchised. Ask Kirk Cousins. How many times was it? 3 times he was franchised by the commies? So it just builds up your value, but you gotta live up to that. You gotta be able to play at that level to where it's like, oh, yeah, okay, like you've earned the raise. Like this is you're at that level. So T. Higgins is definitely somebody that I'm watching who is not a quarterback. And I gotta say, I'm intrigued by the Travis Kelce thing. It's like, what is he? Is he going to play? Is he not going to play? Shit or get off the pot. You know, Brett Favre could hold up a franchise. You can't. Because, you know what? You got two other tight ends who were just as talented, who had a better year than you did. But he's got to prove something. He's got to prove that this year was an aberration. A lot of guys on the Chiefs, going back to what we were talking about before, they got to prove that this year was an aberration. But that's the beauty of sports, man. They can just turn around and make a couple of changes, whether it's in their workout, whether it's in their diet. They can change their agent. There are lots of things that they can do on the periphery, and it can impact their situation on the field. But ultimately, it's up to the athlete to prove that they're worth it or they're not. And I think we put together a pretty good list of guys who are on the bubble here. And some of these guys, their bubble may in fact burst. Step outside of your safe area and make a statement without saying much with FCK Clout Lifestyle Apparel. Embrace the colorful chaos and stay emotionally regulated in their graphic tees, hoodies, snapbacks, accessories, and more. Go to fckclout.com today and check out current season and past season merchandise for men and women. Get it while you can. That's fckclout.com. Check them out today. fckclout.com.
We're now up to 16. Over 16 massage therapists have come forward accusing Justin Tucker of inappropriate behavior. Ugh. This seems like the perfect time for the Ravens to cut ties with one of the most accurate kickers in NFL history, or wait to see how the process plays out.
Well, if we hold Justin Tucker to the same standard of Deshaun Watson, right? He is just, he's done. You have to.
Yeah.
Like, you have to. I mean, this is starting, it's not 23, but it's getting up there. Like, any allegation is a bad allegation. But at this point, I think we are at least a dozen. We're at least a dozen people have come out and said that Justin Tucker has inappropriately conducted himself during a massage. So
some of this going all the way back to 2012.
Yeah, his first 5 years in the league. Right. So it's one of those things that I think he needs to be. I think it needs to be an administrative leave situation. You have to put him either, you know, you put him on administrative leave from the league. It can't just be from, don't punt this to the team. The league has to take the stance, in my opinion. They have to say, we've learned from our mistake. We let the team handle it before. Now we're in charge. You're out until it's proven otherwise.
Well, it all's starting to make sense, right? Because he just came off of having like his worst year. And you can imagine, like, all this stuff was probably weighing on him the whole season, right?
You'd figure.
And it kind of makes sense that, you know, he saw this coming. There's a, he still, you know, is denying it. He's still trying to say that, you know, he never did anything wrong. But it's the numbers that are, like, kind of face palming here. It's like, oh, you get one or two. You're like, all right, no, four or five. It's starting to get serious. And then it's like six or seven. Wait a minute. Yeah. And then you get eight or nine or 10, 16. 16 people can't be colluding with lawyers to put kicker Justin Tucker out of a job. I'm sorry. So There's not a thin line here. There's a regular line here that's been crossed. And I do agree that this is the time for, this is definitely the time for the Ravens to be like, thank you for everything you've done. We can get another kicker. He might not be as great as Justin Tucker was for his career, but we can get another kicker.
And well, how much of that, this past season do you think they would use as the excuse to get out from under him so they don't have to worry about the social aspect of this? That they don't have to worry about the public relations part of this? Just like, oh, no, your performance was shit. Goodbye. Like, you know, yeah, you're, you know, 16 people have accused you of sexual predation. But hey, no, it's really the performance that, you know, that was really the problem. To me, it smells like an excuse.
Yeah, it definitely is. I mean, he is, at one time, he was the most accurate kicker in NFL history. And he's definitely been part of their playoff success, their Super Bowl wins. Like, he's been an important part of the franchise. And yeah, it is a way to kind of hide behind the dude. You don't got it anymore. Like they can't go into next season with him as their kicker. Not only with all this stuff swirling around, but just his play. So yeah, I think it's perfectly acceptable to just blame it on the play. And I wouldn't even back it up with what's going on. So like, listen, especially as soon as I wouldn't even wait for it. As soon as the new league year starts, Justin, you got to go. Jack's office will call you with the paperwork. Like, you know, that's really how it is. I mean, there's nothing more here. 16 is just too many. It's just too many.
And at what point does Roger Goodell step in here and say, you know, pending an investigation, like, you're done? Like, at what point?
He's got to step in.
What's the magic number?
Soon, like next week.
Like, what was the magic number?
The magic number was 5.
The magic number was 1, dude.
5.
Like, come on now.
People go around saying stupid shit. You can't go with 1. That's a little crazy. People say stupid shit all the time.
You gotta investigate
this. But 16, there ain't no coming back from that, man.
Well,
and the other thing is that you actually bring up a good point. 1, maybe it was 1. If it goes back to 2012, yeah. Like, if this has been, what, 13 years of hearing this shit?
Yeah.
So, yeah, you might be right about that.
Now, I understand that, you know, they're professional athletes are public targets, and people do this stuff all the time to try and extort money and whatever. They're not, as far as I know, like, no civil suits have come together. These are, like, criminal. Like, they're looking...
Right.
So there's something there. If you look at even back in recent history, the Matt Araiza thing, he's a chief now. But for a while there, he was persona non grata in the league, man. He went from...
And then it turned out it was all bullshit.
Right. So you have to do your due diligence. Like, the league has to investigate. If only to either properly punish Justin Tucker, along with their personal conduct policy, along those lines, or to exonerate a potential Hall of Fame kicker, right? You would think the league had a vested interest in this. You would figure that, you know, because Justin Tucker, up until this point, you know, as far as we knew, was a decent citizen in the league, right? No DUIs, like, not, you know, nothing that would... Until recently, nothing that would draw any negative attention. Like, the most, like, as far as I'm concerned, the only inflammatory thing he ever did was say some stupid shit on the plane after a win. Like, like, that was the most inflammatory thing Justin Tucker ever did until now. So, where there's smoke, there's fire, dude. I really think that, you know, Goodell's got to step in here. And he's gotta get an investigation going. This really needs to be on the same level as Deshaun Watson. It's gotta be treated the same way. Like, and I don't mean trade him to a team and give him a guaranteed contract.
Give him $230 million.
Take a franchise. Exactly. Like, it's gotta be handled better than that, man.
My dear Lord.
What did we learn nothing. If that's the case, then we learned absolutely ugats from this. You know, we're at a crossroads here of acceptable player behavior, what is willingly ignored or brushed under the carpet by teams, and, you know, what needs to be accounted for in this society. And I think that we're finally reaching the point where this is unacceptable behavior. It's not boys will be boys. It's not professional athletes can do what they want. Like, it's professional athletes will be held accountable for what they do. And it's crossing sports too, because look at Trevor Bauer. Trevor Bauer can't get a job in Major League Baseball, right? He was in the Mexican League this year. And, like, he too was accused of malicious sexual assault. And, yeah, even though, like, he was cleared, teams aren't really rushing to sign him.
And he's good.
He's a good athlete, but, you know, it's one of those things that there's a black ball. There feels like there's a black ball thing going on here. Because if that was the case, if it was just talent, they were, you know, the Yankees would have, the Mets would have, the Dodgers would have gotten him back. Like, a team would have reached out and gotten Trevor Bauer. But there's enough baggage there that teams are unwilling to make that happen. And the longer this is drawn out, I think Justin Tucker could end up in that kind of place where no matter what, we're just not going to touch you. And, you know, that's just kind of where we are as in a society. But who's to say that's not for the better? Because you don't necessarily want bad guys in your league. You know, I don't care how talented they are. Bad, you know, bad people are bad people, and they should be held to account for that.
Is your hair thinning or is your hairline receding? Scalp micropigmentation will fill in the areas where your hair is missing by creating a short buzz cut look. Micropigmentation is a non-invasive procedure that will create the illusion of hair follicles for 7 to 10 years. For people with alopecia, this could be a permanent fix. For people with scars on their scalp, this is a great way to camouflage a scar. Don't lose confidence or feel like you need to wear a hat wherever you go. Marquez Studio is located in the Bronx and is open for all your scalp micropigmentation needs. Consultations are free and appointments can be made any day of the week. Get your hairline back with scalp micropigmentation. The techs at Marquez Studio have over 30 years of hair cutting experience and can assist you with all of your questions. Call to schedule a consultation today, 646-221-8728. You can also visit them on Instagram at Bronx Marquez to see their gallery and view all their satisfied customers. Again, that is Marquez Studio, located in the Bronx, New York, 646-221-8728.
Fair or foul? Judging the more messed up stories of the week.
All right, boys and girls. We have a statement, and it's either fair or foul. Fair or foul, number one. Alex Bregman should move over to second base for the Boston Red Sox.
Foul. Mm. Foul. Devers is the 24th rated third baseman in Major League Baseball. Alex Bregman won the Gold Glove at third base last year in Major League Baseball. So, no. Bregman should go and play third base because he's the best third baseman on the team. It's like that time Alex Rodriguez went to the Yankees. Alex should have been playing shortstop. He was the best shortstop in the league. But no, Jeter had to stay at shortstop because he wasn't willing to move over to second base. Bullshit. Devers, move over to first. And I like Bregman's attitude towards it, though. He's like, I'll play wherever you guys want me to play. Because in time, the numbers won't lie. You'll see that Devers is not that good at third base compared to Bregman, and he'll wind up getting that spot.
So what you're saying to me is that Rafael Devers went to the Gleyber Torres school of influencing teammates.
Well, Gleyber need to stay at second.
Yes.
That didn't work out so well.
It did not work out very well. No, it did not. But I got to say, it's fair from the standpoint of it if it does keep the harmony in the clubhouse. But Alex Cora did a good job of ruining that yesterday. When they asked him about it, he said, yeah, another guy who used to be here said that. And he's in St. Louis now. So...
Oh! That's so awesome. Kudos to
Alex Cora for keeping it 100. You kept it real, my friend. But absolutely, Alex Bregman should make the offer. Extend the olive branch. Because you look like the good guy here. You look like the good teammate. Rafael Devers looks like the selfish asshole. Well played. Well played. But Alex Bregman is clearly the better player. He has Devers' number in pretty much everything except batting average, slugging, OPS, and homers. But even then, you're talking about seven thousandths of a point. You're talking about nine homers. These guys are in the same stratosphere. Defensively, Bregman is much better than Rafael Devers. And it's not just as simple as, oh, move him to first base. You have Tristan Casas, who's pretty good in his own right.
He's trash.
He's better than Devers. He's better fielder than Devers. Tristan Cassis is going to be better for them this year.
Oh yeah. He's better fielder. He ain't a better hitter, though.
But
Bregman can hit just as good as Devers can hit.
But they're building something here. You put the three of those in there, you put those three together, they're banking on Trevor Story. Can we stop banking on Trevor Story if you're the Boston Red Sox?
Like, that guy's still in the league?
Their potential double play combination is any of these three guys. Trevor Story, Vaughn Grissom, and Alex Bregman.
Vaughn Grissom.
Of the three guys, only Alex Bregman is going to see a lot of playing time. They'll see more IL than playing time this year. But it's absolutely fair for Alex Bregman to make this peace offering because you look like the reasonable guy. You look great. So keep doing what you're doing. They taught you something down in Houston, and that's just a bang on a garbage can. So good job, Mr. Bregman. Fair or foul, number two, Mike Trout moving over to right field will allow him to play over 120 games this year.
Foul. Mike Trout will be lucky if he gets out of June without getting injured or hurting a wrist, a back, a knee, an ankle. It's only a matter of time. That dude is just, he is just a broken down Cadillac.
Oh my God. You really doing this? Okay. The last time that Mike Trout played over 120 games was 2019. He played 134 games. He got close in 2022. He played 119 games. It is absolutely foul that Mike Trout playing the field is going to allow him to play for an extended period of time. The dude is a shell of himself. He's going into his age 33 season, and the injuries have just mounted and mounted and mounted. He played only 29 games last year. So, yeah, I guess there's room for optimism, right? There's a chance. You're saying there's a chance. Not with him playing the field, though. Because he plays with reckless abandonment. Because he was a diver. Because he does these things. And because he's an overly muscular guy. Like, they break down. Look at Giancarlo Stanton. Both of his elbows are hurt. Dude can't even swing a bat right now. I understand you hurt one of your elbows. How do you hurt both? It's like, how does that look? Like, Skip, I got a problem here. What the fuck do you mean? I mean, but...
You know, it doesn't work like that either. It's the trainer that has to go and deliver that information.
It's ridiculous.
What do you mean he hurt both of his elbows?
How's that possible?
I don't know.
But that being...
How the fuck is he walking around? How's he having a ham sandwich? I just saw him 15 minutes in the breakfast room. He looked fine to me.
That being said, I trust Giancarlo Stanton more than I trust Mike Trout to stay healthy. Because I saw it last year. Like, he did it. He did it.
It's true.
What does Mike Trout have to do? Because changing positions ain't going to be it. Like, there's got to be something. Like, you know, like, maybe he's got to go to Peru with Aaron Rodgers. He's got to go into the darkness. I don't know. Something.
Get a live chicken.
Get a freaking chicken farm. Never mind a live. Just never mind.
Get a Jobu. Up your butt, Jobu.
I do it myself. He no help with curveball. But, yeah.
I saw you had a similar situation this week.
Oh my God.
When you went to the doctor.
What the fuck? Like,
Monday. That was on Monday, right?
NYU Langone. Thank you for that. God damn it. Like, how do you cancel somebody's appointment? How do you close the clinic and not tell anybody? I'm going there to check my knee to see if my meniscus is healed up. And then, surprise, motherfucker. The lights are off and the door. What the hell? Jesus Christ. But that, you know, like, At least Mike Trout has...
I took two trains and a bus to get here,
son of a bitch. Son of a bitch. At least Mike Trout has access to some of the best healthcare. I don't know if he's getting it because he's not getting any better. But, you know, he's got access to better healthcare than me. So there's that. Good for you, Mike.
He needs the family.
He needs something. He needs to be a DH. But I don't even know if that'll help.
He needs to go to Philadelphia. That's what he needs.
Yeah, he should.
He just needs a change of scenery. It's just not working out, man.
Dude, if you put Trout and Harper on the same team and they don't win the World Series, that would be insane.
Trout, Harper, Realmuto.
Yeah, Schwarber. Like,
Turner, Schwarber, Castellanos. Yeah. They're going to have 6-7 runs a game. That lineup could compete with the Dodgers.
They can't pitch though. Outside of Wheeler, it's
you only need two guys. Diamondbacks proved you only need two guys. You only need two guys, and they just need to be on at the right time.
No. You don't just need two guys. Like that's where the fallacy is. You need two Hall of Famers. You need Schilling and Johnson. It's like fuck. Like, I mean, the Braves had four guys and they couldn't do it. So it's got to be the right guys.
Yeah, but they weren't.
It's got to be the right guys. The Dodgers allegedly have six of them. And they got Snell. It's an embarrassment of riches. So, but you're right. If Trout waved his magic wand and went to Philly, that lineup would play. But that would require him to actually step on the field. Oh, this is a good one. Fair or foul? Speaking of stepping on the field, the Anthony Rendon era is over in Los Angeles.
Oh my God, this guy shows up. You talk about John Carlos Stanton's elbows. This guy shows up to camp. This dude, they discover he needs a hip surgery.
What the fuck?
You just got here. You only played in 57 games last year. What do you mean you need hip surgery? Like next year? Like tomorrow? What the fuck? They removed his locker.
Jesus.
he's donezo,
like,
man.
I took the liberty, and I hope you don't mind. I scheduled my surgery on. wait, what? Oh my God.
I just came to tell you that my surgery's next month, and I'll be out for the rest of the year. It's terrible. Oh my God. And Mike Trout's like, shame, such a shame.
All right, now I'm throwing this out there. You tell me if you think this is accurate. Anthony Rendon is the Hassan Reddick of Major League Baseball. Fuck, I don't want to be here. I'm coming here to tell you that I don't want to be here.
Anthony, what did you do all winter, man? I just hung around, went by the pool. My hip was bothering me a little bit, but I didn't really pay attention to it. Trainer says I need to get surgery, so we scheduled that right away.
What the fuck do you mean?
oh my gosh. Coming off of a batting 218 last year.
Oh my God. Dude, he, in his five seasons as an Angel, do you know how many home runs he hit in 5 years?
Twenty?
22. You were close. Oh my God, that's insane. In 5 years he had 20.
Meanwhile, the year before he got there with the Nationals, what, he had like 34, right?
He had 34. Now, his nickname was Tony Two Bags. In 5 years, he hit 50 doubles. The year before he signed with last year with the Nationals, he hit 44. So you're telling me that he hit 50 doubles in 5 years. It's 10 a year. It's ridiculous. And I don't want to hear about, the COVID season, whatever. But what does that tell you about the rest of you? Come on, man. He has earned the nickname Tony Wage Theft. Like, it's absolutely ridiculous what this guy has done. And you wonder why teams don't want to fork out long-term contracts anymore. Because then you get this some bitch who comes and is like, by the way, I'm going under the knife tomorrow. This is my walk here, right?
Excuse me, what? You want this door open?
What?
Oh my gosh, what that conversation must have been great.
When we said we were going to cut you, we didn't mean that. We didn't mean actually. Jesus Christ. That has to be... I'm hard-pressed to think of a contract that is worse than Anthony Rendon's based on the performance. Like, Carl Pavano's up there, but...
Oh, yeah, that was awesome. Jacoby Ellsbury.
Jacoby Ellsbury was bad. Carl Crawford to the Red Sox wasn't that great.
Oh, yeah.
But I think they did better than Anthony Rendon did. And they also didn't go into the stands or threaten to go into the stands and fight somebody.
So you call me a bitch.
So you're saying I'm a bitch. You're saying I'm a bitch. So
oh, man, it's still good. It's just too good.
This shit writes itself, man. Oh, my God. It's absolutely...
Wild Thing, you make my butt sting. I detest you.
Had enough of that maniac out there.
You're all garbage.
You know how to fight. I'll show you how to fight. You wuss.
I'll show you how to fight. Back up the truck. Back it up.
So what you're telling me is Anthony Rendon isn't welcome at Angels Old-Timers Day anytime soon.
Wild Thing. Mr. Choke Thing. You make everything embarrassing.
Oh, my God. Absolutely atrocious. Absolutely atrocious.
And he's like, I'm just going to go home. I'm going to throw some ice on my hip.
I mean...
All this walking around today has really got me sore.
He also said that baseball isn't a priority for him. So, like, this should not be... This shouldn't be anything out of the blue. Like, we knew this.
This is my walk here, right?
Are we done yet?
Looking forward to hitting free agency.
I can't. Oh my God. Any team that takes him on, you're a bunch of fucking clowns. Like, no. Like, he's got to be done. Like, there's no way in hell a team in good conscience would say, this is the guy.
How old is he?
He'll be 30.
Oh, he's 34. Oh, yeah, he's done. It's over. It's over.
But is there a team dumb enough to say, we can fix him?
No. I don't think he wants to be fixed.
Shit.
I think he's good.
We need a veteran presence in our clubhouse.
He got his ring.
I know just the guy. I didn't sell Parkman out there.
I got you a third baseman.
Not those
Chapman?
Not those Giants.
Not exactly.
Yourself! Oh my God. He's got to be done. Completely foul. Like, you ruined... You absolutely ruined the concept of free agency for many people after you. You've set the bar so low that... it's absolutely irrevocable. You tanked your career for what? I hope you enjoyed the money. And I can't believe it either. I can't believe they let Anthony. I can't believe his key card still works. Like, they should have Jamal Adams' ass. Like, Skip, I got a problem here. But, God. But the Angels will just go sign another high-priced free agent. It's what they're going to do. So this is what baseball has come to, and hopefully the Angels have learned their lesson. But realistically, I don't think they have.
Your favorite podcast has its own merch line now. Go to thefadestorewithdnz.com today and check out our releases in apparel, accessories, drinkware, and more. Ever wanted an Alleged Superstar t-shirt? We got those. You want some yoga pants? We got those too. And we're not done yet. We have a lot of exciting collaborations and new products on the way. But check out what we have now at thefadestorewithdnz.com. That's thefadestorewithdnz.com. Who's the best of the worst this week in sports? The Fade Store presents the Alleged Superstar of the Week Award. All right, boys and girls, you know what time it is. It's time for the Alleged Superstar of the Week. You know how it goes. We put up a poll on our X account, at FadeRouteDNZ, and our Instagram poll, at FadeRoutePodcast, and you vote. And you vote, and you vote, and you vote. And the winner said vote gets a shout-out on this year's show and takes home the coveted-ass trophy. And do you know who took home the coveted-ass trophy last week, D? Michael K.
Huh. How's that possible? I didn't even know he was a candidate.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Just talking, just way out of pocket. Just keep your business on your business. And let's not editorialize too much, because then we'll come after you and your salary and how much you make for a 12-1 radio show that isn't really that good. But hey, that was last week. This is this week. Who are your nominees for Alleged Superstar of the Week, D?
All right, first up, who do I have here? Yes.
I know, right? But it's... I put it on my phone today. Dum dum today.
All right. First up, I've got Team Canada in Four Nations NHL tournament. Booing the playing of the national anthem? Not a good look. Now your team has to go play against the United States in Boston.
Yeah.
Good luck. Keep politics out of sports, man. Team Canada, you are my Alleged Superstar of the Week. Number two, I've got LeBron James. Yeah, the Lakers, LeBron James, deciding the day of the All-Star game that he's not going to play in the All-Star game. Robbing players like Norman Powell and other deserving players the chance to play in an All-Star game. Then he decided to sit on the sideline and laugh and giggle and joke around with teammates while people who paid thousands of dollars to go to the All-Star game to see him play and to see other All-Stars play, didn't get to see him play. LeBron James, you are my Alleged Superstar of the Week. And last but not least, the Major League Soccer. Letting Sporting Kansas City play Inter Miami in negative temperature tonight is just clownish. Soccer is not a game that should be played in negative temperatures. Guys wearing shorts, short sleeve shirts. They have the ability to move the game, and they're choosing not to move the game. Major League Soccer, you are my Alleged Superstar of the Week.
They actually did move that one. They didn't move the Colorado one that was in 6 degrees. It was 6 degrees.
Wait a minute. They moved it. Yeah, but yesterday they moved it because of snow, but they're playing this game today. Miami, Kansas City, Sporting Kansas City is going to play, or did they move it?
I think they moved it. So,
oh, it did
move. It's absolutely ridiculous. It underscores the bigger problem is that because it was messy, okay, we'll move it. But Tuesday night, Colorado is playing LAFC in Colorado in a snowstorm and 6 degrees outside.
Oh, no, they're playing, Z. They're playing. Inter Miami is playing sport in Kansas City right now.
Oh, Jesus. But
It's 0-1. And it looks like Messi had a goal.
Oh, I'm shocked that they... I'm absolutely shocked that happened. But yeah, if you're not Lionel Messi, you're not going to get preferential treatment. You're going to go out there, you're going to play in the freezing cold, you're going to have to
drink chicken broth and hot chocolate to warm up, and maybe, just maybe.
It's like is this the opening game? Is this like the opening game of the season, too, right?
This is CONCACAF. So this one actually doesn't count towards MLS. So it's one of those things that, you know.
But it's an MLS
it's
game,
though,
right?
It's two MLS teams, but it's a CONCACAF game. So it's a different,
Oh, so really, CONCACAF is the alleged superstar of the week.
So it's... But it's beyond fucked. MLS deserves their own... They deserve to be trolled for their own reasons. Like, 6 degrees, you have a team in Minnesota where it's outdoors and it's like -2. But, fuck it, we'll play. Who cares? That's a major problem. You can't have a second set of rules. And, frankly, having that kind of weather, that's just asking for trouble. You're asking for fans not to come out. You're asking for players to get sick or injured or both. It's you can push it back a week, or you have enough teams that play in warm climates that you can start everybody in a warm climate. You have Houston, you have Dallas, you have Austin, you have the new San Diego team, you have two teams in Miami, you have two teams in Florida, rather. You have Atlanta, Carolina. Yeah, I'm in South Carolina. It's 50-something degrees during the day. It's 30-something degrees at night. Last time I checked, 30-something degrees is still better than 6. You could have had Colorado and L.A. play in L.A. You have two teams in L.A. This could easily be fixed, but they're a bunch of morons in the front office of the MLS. They were going to be on mine, but I'm glad that you took them. I'm going to start with Rafael Devers. Dude, you're not better than Alex Bregman. He's a better third baseman than you. Just cede the position. Don't dig in and say, I'm not a second baseman. I'm a third baseman. That's my position. Your own coach didn't even back you. Your own manager didn't even back you. So, do the honorable thing and offer the position to Alex Bregman. Rafael Devers, you are my alleged superstar of the week. Number two. Forgot about this one. Marcus Stroman. I will take Petulant Children for 200, Alex. Come into camp. Oh. I'm not a reliever. I'm a starter. What numbers indicate that you're a good starter, Marcus? No. Sorry. Haven't been for a while. Met fans can attest to that. The Blue Jay fans can attest to that. The Yankee fans can attest to that. Do the right thing. Either go in the bullpen or shut up and win your job. Because talking, it's only going to get you into hotter water. Marcus Stroman, you are my alleged superstar of the week. And number three, Rob Manfred. Coming out saying he doesn't have a problem with what the Dodgers are doing. He has a problem with the system. Huh? Motherfucker, you're the commissioner. It's your system. You set this up. So, which one is it? Is it the system you created, or is it the fact that the Dodgers are taking advantage of the system you created? I'm confused. What the hell? Rob Manfred, it's almost low-hanging fruit. I feel guilty about putting him on again. It's like the 20th time that Rob Manfred's been up for alleged superstar of the week, but fuck it, it's entertaining. Rob Manfred, you are my alleged superstar of the week. I think we've said our piece. Go to our X account at FadeRouteDNZ. Go to our Instagram poll at FadeRoutePodcast and vote and vote and vote and vote. And for our nominees. You're better than that. Just do better. Just do better.
This has been the Fade Route with DNZ. Thanks for tuning in tonight. Catch our podcast on Wednesday nights on Spotify, iTunes, iHeartRadio, or wherever you listen to your podcast. So until next time, stay fade, everyone.
Time for us to run the go route. We'll talk to you next week.
Thanks for listening to this episode of our podcast. If you liked what you heard and you want to hear more, be sure to like and subscribe on your favorite podcast platform. Leave us a review, rate us 5 stars, turn on subscription notifications, and share on social media. Tell your friends and spread the word.